Welcome back, Hemingway listeners, to the Hemingway List. We are talking about the book Anna Karenina, the chapter 11 of the part 7. Oh my God, these two and their jealousy issues. What do you think is at the root of these issues? Thermos of Beer said, as for the jealousy, Levin's of Veslovsky wasn't warranted. If Levin could read Kitty, he would have seen that. Kitty's jealousy seems to have some merit. Kitty can read Levin. Levin saying he'll avoid Anna also kind of confirms that as well. I wonder if Levin will become obsessed and start seeking Anna out. Who doesn't like home-wrecking drug addicts shut-ins? Drug-addicted shut-ins. Who doesn't like home-wrecking drug-addicted shut-ins? They're a lot of fun. JMama8779 said, I guess I feel like we're getting into the final stretch. I'm sure the drama will grow. Levin and Kitty. It's funny that Levin and Kitty are the ones that are so jealous. When they were almost like the purest couple in terms of adulteriness. You'd think Anna and Vronsky would be the jealous ones because their relationship started as her leaving one man for him. And often when a relationship starts that way, there's this kind of underlying feeling of like, is that going to happen again? Like, am I part of a pattern? How many times has this happened sort of thing? Even though, you know, this was a bit different. They were married. But I suppose, yeah, that I would feel like that would be the relationship that would have more, less trust, I should say. I Am Norwegian said, I couldn't help but find the stereotypical insecurity of Kitty, combined with the equally cliche attempt at explaining everything away by Levin, a bit funny. I know, that telltale blush of his. Damn. You know that feeling when you like, you know you're busted and all you have to do is keep a straight face, but you know your face is betraying you. I don't know why, says I Am Norwegian, but I just find their squabbling endearing. Endearing. I don't get endearment from it. I find it quite frustrating. I have this feeling like, get your act together, guys. Charlotte said Kitty thought she was going to marry Vronsky and then he fell for Anna and deserted her. That's not the kind of thing you forget easy. Kitty thought she was going to marry Vronsky and then he fell for Anna and deserted her. Oh, okay. So Kitty has been deserted for Anna before. I forgot about this. That could be part of the distrust. She thinks Anna is the one that steals her men away. That's not the kind of thing you forget easily. Of course, she has some insecurities relating to Anna now. And then her husband comes back talking about how charming Anna is and blushing. I would have reacted the exact same as Kitty, try to keep a brave face and then cry my eyes out as soon as my husband leaves the room. I just couldn't help it. Keep in mind that she's pregnant and expecting to give birth any day. So her hormones are wild, good point as well. And she doesn't feel good enough to do much of anything. When her husband was out later than expected, she had nothing to do but sit and worry. Oof. All good points, Charlotte. All good points. And actually now I'm starting to see through Kitty's eyes a bit and feeling, I can see that her jealousy is... It might be misguided. She might be wrong. But I can see that there's some... it's somewhat warranted jealousy. Plus the hormones. Plus the waiting all night. Yeah. Yeah. You've changed my mind, Charlotte. Very good comment. NightWhiskey21 says, I think the root for both of them is playing the what-if game. That would always be in the back of my mind that I may not be the first choice for this person. Yeah, right. NightWhiskey21. Well, I mean, you shouldn't have that. Yeah, I think anyone could say that about their relationship. Any relationship. So you can't get that in your head, I think. Because anyone could say that. What's that? There's a Ben Folds song called There's Always Someone Cooler Than You. And this is kind of true. Like, there is, as much as you might be the world to someone, they could find someone cooler than you. It's always possible. It doesn't matter if you're bloody Pharrell. I don't know. I'm trying to think of like who's the coolest person in the world. It's probably not Pharrell. He is cool though, right? Is he? I don't know. I don't know popular things. Anyway, doesn't matter how cool you are. You could be the coolest dude in the world. There's always going to be someone cooler. You can't think that way. But a good point nonetheless. I just hope you don't take that attitude, night whiskey, into your own relationships because, I don't know, it's not a nice place to be for you. You don't want to have that in your head. It's nice to just, sort of surrender your trust to someone and being like, there's a million things I could think up to get jealous about, but I'm just going to trust instead. And you might betray my trust. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it, but I'm not going to worry about all the ways in which you might. Yeah, I don't know. That's how I go into relationships. Anyway, okay. Let's keep reading. 828. I'm getting too deep here. I'm giving love advice, which I'm the last person you should listen to on that. So let's keep reading. Let's keep reading about this heroin addict and her love problems. Chapter 12. Heroin addict in an open relationship. When her visitors had taken their leave, Anna did not sit down but began pacing up and down the room. Though she had involuntarily done all in her power to awaken love in Levin, as at that time she always did to all the young men she met, and though she knew, I just realized she's a drug addict in an open marriage with two children, who one of whom she doesn't love. She only loves one of her children, and it's the one to her previous partner, her husband. So the child, she doesn't love the child of the guy that she's currently with. That's when I think of it like that, it's like, oh man, I'm seeing some red flags here. Continuing. Though she had involuntarily done all in her power to awaken love in Levin, as at that time she always did to all the young men she met, and though she knew she had succeeded in as far as was possible with a honourable married man in one evening, and though she had liked him very much, despite the marked differences between Vronsky and Levin from a man's point of view, she, as a woman, saw in them that common trait which had caused Kitty to fall in love with them both. Yet, as soon as she had left the room, she ceased to think about him. One thought, and only one, pursued her remorselessly in different forms. If I produce such an effect on others, on this married man who loves his wife, why is he so cold toward me? And it's not coldness, for I know he loves me, but something fresh now divides us. Why has he been away all this evening? He sent word by Steva that he could not leave Yashvin, but must keep an eye on his play. In Yashvin, such a child. Is Yashvin such a child? Sorry, I'm butchering this tonight. But admitting that it's true, he never tells lies, then behind that truth there is something else. He is glad of a chance to show me that he has other obligations. I know he has. I agree to that. But why prove it to me? He wishes to give me proofs that his love of me must not interfere with his freedom, but I don't need proofs, I need love. He ought to understand the hardship of my life here in Moscow. Is it life? I do not live, but only wait for a solution which is deferred and still deferred. Again, no answer, and Steva says he can't go to see Alexis Alexandrovich, and I can't write again. I can't do anything. Begin anything, change anything. I restrain myself, wait, invent occupations for myself, the English family, writing, reading, but all that is only deception. It is all a kind of morphia. Oh dear. He ought to pity me, said she, feeling tears of self-compassion rising to her eyes. She heard Vronsky's vehement ring at the front door and quickly dried her eyes. She even sat down near the lamp and opened a book, pretending to be tranquil. She must let him see that she was displeased that she had not he had not returned when he had promised. Displeased, that should be all, she would be on no account show him her grief, and still less her self-compassion. She might pity herself, but he must not pity her. She did not want strife and blamed him for wanting to fight, but yet she involuntarily took up a fighting attitude. "Well, you've not been dull," he asked cheerfully and with animation, coming up to her. "What a terrible passion gambling is. "No, I have not been dull. I have long ago learned not to feel dull. Stever and Levin were here." "Yes, I knew they were coming to see you. And how did you like Levin?" he asked, taking a seat beside her. "Very much. They only left a short while ago. What did Yashvin do?" "He was lucky and won 17,000. I called him away and very nearly got him to come, but he went back and now has lost more than he had won." "Then what was the good of your staying with him?" she said, suddenly raising her eyes to his face. Her look was cold and hostile. "You told Stever you were staying to bring Yashvin away, but you have left him." A similar cold expression of readiness for strife appeared on his face. "For one thing, I do not give him any message for you, and for another, I never say that what is not true. But chiefly, I wanted to say, so I stayed. I wanted to stay, so I stayed," he replied with a frown. "Anna, why, he asked after a short pause, bending toward her and opening his hand, hoping that she would place hers in it. She was pleased by this appeal to tenderness, but some strange evil power prevented her from yielding to her impulse, as if the conditions of the struggle did not allow her to submit. "Of course you wished to stay and stayed. You always do what you wish. But why tell me? Why?" she said, becoming more and more agitated. "Does anyone dispute your right? But you want to be in the right, so in the right you must be." His hand closed, he leaned back, and his face assumed a still more stubborn look. "For you it's a matter of obstinacy," she said, after gazing intently at him and suddenly finding a name for that look that irritated her so. "Just obstinacy. For you, it is a question of whether you will conquer me, and for me," again she felt sorry for herself and nearly burst into tears, "if you only knew what it means to me, when I feel as I do now, that you are hostile towards me, hostile is the right word, if you only knew what that means to me, if you knew how near I am to a catastrophe at such moments, how afraid I am, afraid of myself," and she turned away to hide her sobs. "But what is it all about?" he said, horrified at her expression of despair, and again leaning toward her, he took her hand and kissed it. "What have I done? Do I seek amusement outside our home? Do I not avoid the society of women?" "I should hope so," she said. "Well then, tell me what I should do to make you easy." "I am ready to do anything to make you happy," he went on, touched by her despair. "What would I not do to spare you such grief as this? But I know not what, Anna." Nothing, she replied. "I don't know myself whether it is this lonely life or nerves, but don't let's talk about it. What about the races? You haven't told me about them." And she tried to hide her triumph at her victory, for the victory was hers after all. He asked for supper and began telling her about the races, but by his tone and by his looks, which grew colder, and colder, she saw that he had not forgiven her victory, and that the obstinacy against which she had fought had again taken possession of him. He was colder to her than before, as if he repented of having submitted, and remembering the words which had given her the victory, "I am near a catastrophe and afraid of myself," she realized that they were a dangerous weapon and must not be used a second time. She felt that side by side with the love that united them there had grown up some evil spirit of strife which she could not cast out of his heart and still less out of her own. Oh dear, these last few chapters have been on point. Have your say about this one over at the subreddit. I'm expecting some comments on this one. Let's just say that much. I'll see you there, and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening.